told you it's been too many weeks, but they visited a few times, and his health is really poor, and so he needs a real touch from the Lord today. So, Father, we come before your throne of grace right now, Lord, for Dan, and we just ask, God, that you would just do a supernatural work in his body. Lord, without your touch, Lord, without a supernatural, Lord, impartation, God, that the report is bad. So we pray right now, Lord, that you would just come into those organs, Lord, and restore them, Lord. Bring them back to full working order. We speak life over Dan right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that he is your child, Lord, and that you, Lord, have created him, Lord, and you know exactly how he's made because you are his maker. So we ask that you would bring him back into the order and the design that you've made him into in Jesus' name. Touch him right now, Lord, right where he's at. Let him just sense the power of God coming over him, Lord, and feeling the restoration flowing through his body. Because of your healing power, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. And Madison, St. Martin, is trying to have a baby, and she's been in labor for a while now. Okay, but they want to make sure she doesn't go too long, right?
And her heart rate's high.
And her heart rate's high. So, Father, we just come before you right now,
yes,
for Madison,
Lord.
God, and we just ask that you would just allow, Lord, balance to come to her system. Lord, that her heart rate would be steady and that it would be in a safe area in the range. And, Lord, we pray that you would allow this birth, Lord, to happen and have it safe and in within the time frame that the doctors want to see the baby born and without any complications.
Yes, Lord.
Just touch Madison right now in her heart.
God.
Bring her assurance and bring her a peace now in Jesus'
Lord.
Name.
Lord.
And Adam is not feeling well. So, Adam, can we pray for you? You want to come up and we'll lay hands on you? Is that good? Feeling sick almost a week, huh? Lord, we just lift Adam before your throne of grace right now, Lord. And God, you are our healer. And by your stripes, we are healed. Lord, that is in the active voice, Lord. So I release healing over Adam right now, Lord. Lord, allow him, Lord, to feel your strength right now and to feel your touch. We just release healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, if you want to stand with me, us. hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Sorry about that.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never. Worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again.
Bless the Lord, oh my. moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon
now.
I guess. It worked. You get excited and you start stomping your foot, and next thing you know, there's no sound. Oh, Malachi. Okay. Did you really, Tanya? You thought it was Malachi? No, it wasn't Malachi. It was me. Hey, we didn't skip a beat. We kept singing. Well, today, it's just me. Let's see if I can get to my message here. I was, spoken to in my heart of a verse on, I think it was Wednesday. Oh, no, it was Tuesday. Tuesday afternoon it started. And I just kind of started, you know, pondering it and chewing on it and just, you know, rehearsing it over and over in my heart. And if you'll turn with me to Galatians, I don't have any overheads today, so we're going to have to go. Galatians 2. Let's see. Let's go ahead and we'll put this in context. This is Paul talking in starting at verse 15 about being justified by faith and not the works of the law. So verse 15, this is New King James. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank you, God, that your word is alive. It's living. It's active, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you can speak to each one of our hearts. Write what we need today. Each one of us, Lord, that even though I communicate a certain message, Lord, you're not limited to communicating to us by that message. That you can use, Lord, the contact of faith, Lord, to speak directly to all of our hearts. Lord, we want to become more like you. Lord, we want to live those lives, Lord, that are as if we are dead, but alive in you. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, God, would receive something today. That no one would leave here, Lord, empty-handed or empty-hearted, Lord. That we would all be able to receive what you have for us. We just ask, Lord, that whatever distractions have been in our minds, whatever stumbling blocks have tried to come in and keep us, Lord, from entering into who you are today in us, Lord, that those would just be removed right now in Jesus' name. That the eyes of our understanding, Lord, would be enlightened today. Lord, that all of us would be able to know, Lord, what is the hope of our calling? What is the riches of the glorious inheritance that we have as saints of God? Lord, that your love that's exceedingly great towards us, Lord, that we would be able to comprehend that today. Even though it's incomprehensible, Lord, I pray that our hearts, Lord, and our spirits and our beings, Lord, be able to comprehend that love. So that perfect love, Lord, would remove any fears and any doubts and any hesitations that we may be dealing with in our lives. Yes, Lord, open us up. Open us up to receive. We just wait on you, Holy Spirit, to move in this place. Every person that hears my voice, just let them just receive right now. Let them open up to receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So that the Galatians chapter is known as the chapter of being justified by law versus being justified by faith. Being justified by works versus being justified by Christ's righteousness. His righteousness alone justifies us. Justification means just as if I'd never sinned. Good way to remember justified and what it means. So, and Paul in Galatians 2 is trying to communicate to these Galatians who had been somewhat bewitched or bewildered, because after they had received the gospel, which was the gospel of grace and the gospel of faith in Christ, later on others came behind him and said, oh, well, yeah, you received Christ, but now you need to receive the law. You need to be really saved, you know, so you need to fulfill the duties of the law, which meant being circumcised, which meant following certain type of food guidelines, all the things that the Jews could never keep themselves. These individuals said that they had to do this to be able to be saved. And Paul's coming in and saying, listen, if I'm telling you one thing and you were walking in that and it was going well, then why did you go back to the old ways? Why did you go back to being justified by what you have to do? Or not, maybe not their old ways, but the old ways of the Jewish believers. These were called Judaizers, and they basically were Christians that also followed the law. And they believed us Gentiles needed to follow that same law. So he goes on to say, for if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So in other words, if I build back up those things that have already been torn down, I'm guilty of the law, and I'm guilty of sinning again. Because Christ has made it so that I'm free from sin. And how does he do that? He says, I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. Now it's interesting that I through the law died to the law. How can now Paul say, well, how did you die through the law? You just said that the law is no good. You die through the law because Jesus fulfilled the law. So you can say that Jesus became the fulfillment so that we keep the law. We don't have to keep the law by keeping do's and don'ts. We keep the law by keeping Christ as the center of our lives. So then he goes on to say, and I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, But Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's what I want to kind of share on today. This is a verse that, you know, is greatly quoted many times over. It's one that, you know, a lot of times you'll find memory verses. It is one of the memory verses for us. But I kind of wanted to just take it, break it down as it was kind of being broken down in me that day. I was going through like some struggles. Does anybody ever go through struggles? it was a rough day. Had to do a few things that, you know, I wasn't excited about. And after doing them, I just was walking into our kitchen, and I just started saying, I've been crucified with Christ. You know, because the situation was making it so that I felt, you know, I'm starting to feel pressure and starting to feel, you know, anxiety, all those different things that you can sense anytime you're doing stuff that, you know, you're not necessarily wanting to do. Or that you're doing it because, you know, you're being told to do it, and, you know, it's something that, you know, is hard for you to do. So I started quoting that. I've been crucified with Christ. And I said, wait a minute, I've been crucified with Christ. And I've shared this before, but a year or so ago now, maybe it's 2 years, I was in prayer while taking communion. And I was thinking about this verse, about being, you know, crucified with Christ, because communion's about being one with him. And to be one with him, you have to embrace what he's done for you. And that is the work of the cross. And it says, you know, in Romans 6, which we'll get to at one point, talks about that since we died with him, then we're also raised with him. And so I was thinking about these things as I was engaging with the oneness of God. And what ended up happening is that I started picturing myself in my heart, you know, just not, it was like in my imagination, it was deep in my heart, started picturing myself on the cross with Christ. And like, as I opened my eyes and, you know, in the vision, I could see like out through his eyes, and it gave me a deeper revelation of being crucified with him. So when this is using this term, I've been crucified with Christ, if you go to Matthew 27:44, it says that even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. And so the crowd was yelling and jeering at him and calling him names and all that stuff. And these two robbers who were being crucified at the same time with him on either side were doing the same thing. And they started reviling him and calling him names and everything. But what I wanted to point out is where it says those robbers who were crucified with him, that is the same Greek word that's being used. So somehow, some way, supernaturally, we don't just metaphorically say, oh yeah, I've been crucified with Christ. Somehow, some way, when Jesus was hanging on the cross for you and I, we hung on the cross with him. When he died, we died with him. Romans 6:6 says this, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So this is identifying what was crucified in us. What was crucified was the old man. Obviously, not all of us was crucified. We didn't completely die. Otherwise, you know, we'd just be a blob on the ground and go to heaven, and then you don't have to worry about walking this whole life out. Which, you know, in some ways that looks, you know, appealing if you think about it. If you just could get saved and go to heaven, and that's that would remove a lot of headaches sometimes, wouldn't it? Headaches and heartaches. But our old man was crucified with him. So how many have heard that it says that, I think in Galatians, another place, says that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I might actually even have that one. But cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus became a curse for us. He became sin. And he didn't just become, you know, the letter, you know, the letters S-I-N, sin in general. He became everyone's sin. All of mankind's sin was placed upon him at the time of his crucifixion. Why? So that our sins could die with his death. So that our old nature, our old man can die with his death. So that we can now stand and say, I am crucified with Christ, and I don't have to live anymore in my own flesh. I can live in the life of God. Does that make sense? And why were we crucified? That the body of sin might be done away with. And it doesn't mean that this just this physical body. It means the fleshly, carnal body that causes us to stumble and fall and make mistakes and fall short of God's glory. That has been done away with. Why? Because we've been crucified with him, because he was crucified. Now, the only way that this has power is if you identify with that and embrace that you've been crucified. It's easy to quote the verse. I quoted the verse for years. And, you know, I would use it to say, you know, like, you know, it's a new life in me, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm a brand new person, kind of like a you know, a 2 Corinthians 5, is it 2 Corinthians 5? 17, thank you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, that we're a new creation, we're brand new individuals. So I would quote it kind of like that. But the other day when I was quoting this again, I started, and you can say, Pastor Mike, you like go way out there. I started picturing myself going through the crucifixion process. I laid myself out and I saw, because literally this crucified with him means to be impaled through your flesh. So I saw myself laying out there, and I saw the nails going through my hands and feet. You say, well, Pastor Mike, what makes you worthy to do that? No, it's not nothing of worthiness. That's all of my old man being laid out bare for Christ to take it and for me not have to deal with it anymore. I was doing this to remind myself that I am no longer alive. Christ is alive. And if you're not alive, then what can anybody do to you? If you're not alive, then what can affect you? See, this is bringing me back to, okay, so why are you downcast? Why are you so upset? You're not alive. You're dead. What does that mean? So it says here, it is no longer I who live. Now, it's interesting. In some of the other translations, it says this. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And this translation said, it is no longer I who live. But I think in the Greek, it kind of is saying this. I've been crucified with Christ. Or in other words, I have died on the cross with Christ. I have gone through that crucifixion process. Not just like, you know, in an instant. I mean, somehow, some way, when he was laying there, I was going through it with him so that I would no longer be a slave to what that old man represented. I would no longer have to bow my knee to the old nature, because I now bow my knee to the one who was resurrected from the dead, and I'm resurrected in him. But getting back to what I was saying. Oh, no, I did totally lose it. What was I saying? Anybody remember? That was a while ago, but we'll go. Oh, I know. So the verse that we're quoting here, the second part of it, it is no longer I who live. Nevertheless, I live. So I have died. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So it's in other words, he's saying, listen, I'm dead. But wait a minute. No, I'm not dead. I'm living. And you're going, what? You know, what are you? Are you dead or are you alive? And so what Paul is trying to communicate is yes, I died, but I'm still alive, but I'm not living as I used to live. It is no longer I who live, is the way that the King James says it, or the New King James. Colossians 3:3 says this, for you died. It's pretty clear. And who is he talking to? Just the Colossa church? That colossal of people there? No, he was talking to all of us. We died. And how many find it a hard time to relating to being dead? Come on, I mean, we're alive. And so it's like, what? That doesn't make sense. How can you say you're died when you're alive? Because we died with Christ. And because we died with him, now our life is hidden with Christ in God. Catch that. Because we died and we identify with his death and we walk out that death life. wasn't there a show like Dead Man Walking or something? You know, like, we literally are the walking dead. But we're not like, you know, zombies, you know. We're walking alive in Christ, but we are, what? Oh, yes. Or the time of day, yeah, right? Monday mornings, exactly. We probably all have our different times when we could be zombified. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So our life is hidden. And what's our life hidden from? Folks, our life is hidden from judgment. We're not going to be judged when we're in Christ. Why? Because we died in Christ, and so we're clothed in Christ. We're hidden in Christ. We're sheltered in Christ. We're protected. He is our refuge and our high fortress, much greater than even what David was communicating, because we have him as our full, completed Savior. David was prophesying about that, and he was walking in an early revelation of that, but we have the full disclosure that we get to live in. So Romans 6:8, I kind of quoted a little bit earlier. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So one of the things that we can do is put things off. You know, we listen to scriptures and we say, okay, well, yes, someday I'll be living with him. But we're seated in heavenly places now. So see, we're living in and with him now. That's why we are hidden with him. I mean, you can't be hidden with him and not be with him. Making sense? Zeke, I see you like, oh boy. I agree. Right? So it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So the whole idea of being alive is being alive in Christ, or having the life of God in us. Not natural life, even though we are somewhat sustained with natural life, which still comes from God. But this life that we live now is through the supernatural empowerment of life through the Holy Spirit. It's overcoming life. It's victorious life. It's abundant life. But Christ lives in me. Colossians 2:13 says, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all the trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, having made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now that's a lot, and that's actually more than Colossians 13. I think that's Colossians 2, 13 through 15. And you being dead in your trespasses, what does that mean? It means that before we were alive in Christ, we were actually dead in our trespasses, because we weren't alive to God. We weren't awakened to his goodness and to his grace and to his love and to his forgiveness and to his righteousness. So we were dead in our trespasses, in the uncircumcision of our flesh, which was the circumcision of our heart, is what we receive when we receive Christ. But he's made us alive together with him. So we're made to lie, just as we're hidden with him in Christ, we're made alive with him. So let's look at some practical ideas of why this is important, other than just information. If we are dead and we're dealing with somebody and we're dead and it's not us who lives, but a Christ who lives in us, what should we do and how should we act when people treat us a certain way? Well, we should act as dead people. We should act as people who don't have their own agendas or have their own feelings hurt. Right? I know. Ouch, right, hon? We should act as individuals who do not have to have others influence us in such a way that we're dejected, rejected, downcast, because they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting Christ in us. We're hidden in Him. This is all good and well, and you can, you know, hear this message, but you have to live it out. That means when the rubber meets the road, when the choice comes and you can, you know, have an opportunity, I'll call it, or a challenge of having to live this out. Remember that you're crucified with Him. If you have to go back, picture those nails going through your hands. That as He was hung to the cross, you hung to the cross. Because your old man hung on the cross with Him and was buried. You've already been put in a tomb. You've already resurrected. Past tense. Having forgiven you all the trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What did He nail to the cross? Handwriting of our requirements. In other words, what was being held against us that was contrary to us, our trespasses, those were all nailed to the cross, which was us. It wasn't just those things that, you know, we were somewhat associated. It was us. You can't separate the sin that we did in us. Just as you can't separate the life of God that we have in us. You can't separate our spiritual life in us. So when that happened, it disarmed every principality. It disarmed every power. It made even a public declaration of His defeat against you. Not just against Christ, but against you. To be alive in God means that you are free. We are free. We are free from the hassle, we are free from the torment, and we are free from the bondage of our own ways. Help us, Lord, to walk in that. Help me to walk in that. Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So here we talk about death, and here it's talking about life. If this Spirit that raised Jesus up, and that's the Holy Spirit, on the third day, that was interjected into that physical body that was there lying on that slab, and it didn't just, you know, cause it to live again, it caused full transformation to come to that body, to the place where it was a resurrected body. And it says that that same Spirit that did all that, if it dwells in you, it's going to give life. It's going to give that same kind of life that we're talking about, of walking in newness of life, to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So this is kind of where the rubber starts to meet the road. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And this life, this very life that we live now in the flesh, we can live by faith in the Son of God. Or we can choose. See, that's the thing. Even though that old man is dead and buried, we can let him live. All we have to do is not focus on what Christ did for us. We focus on what others are doing to us. We focus on the circumstances or the situations that we're in. We focus on those pressures, and guess what? He'll come back to life. He'll come off that cross and He'll start working in us again. And when we do that, we then almost negate or we reverse what Christ is trying to do in us. We take away his power for his life to live in us. Now, great. All you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. I let the old man rise up again. Let me just receive your life once again. I repent. I turn. I change my way of thinking. And you can start putting that old man back up on the cross. You don't have to go through the process of trying to figure out how to get it. He's already there. Just do we let him live or do we let him stay dead? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Philippians 3:9-10. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Hello. Hello. There it is. Being conformed to his death. Oh, I guess I don't have any more there. So, through faith in Christ, through faith in the Son of God, this is how I live this new life. So, it's not through my own workings. It's not through my own power. It's not through my own willpower. Mike Lindell, it's not through your own willpower. It's through faith in God. Through saying that Jesus did it all. Let's just say that together. Jesus did it all. Jesus finished the work. He did. It's completed. It is finished. Final. There's no other things that need to be done other than us receiving that finished work of the cross in our lives. That finished work of him coming, taking our place, dying for us in our place, and we died with him. And now we can live a new life. But we have to have faith in Christ. You can't will this kind of thought process. I guarantee you can't. You can't quote it to yourself enough. You can't put enough things on your mirrors to get you to change. This is something that has to be lived out and reminding yourself that you're no longer alive, but that you live now in Christ. And this word, the righteousness which is from God by faith, it's literally saying the righteousness with God that is upon faith. It's like the foundation of this is faith in the rock. Faith in Christ, who is our rock, who is the chief cornerstone. So faith comes by hearing in Hebrews 11:1-2. No, sorry. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. But faith is a substance. Faith is an assurance. It's a confidence that what Jesus has done is done. That what Jesus accomplished is accomplished. That it's not just pie in the sky. That it's not just something we get to try. But it's something we get to truly live in. Because it is real. That's what faith is. Faith is saying, you know what, Jesus, I know you died for me, but I don't just know that you died for me. I know that what you did when you died for me has transformed me and changed me. I don't care what I look like on the outside. I don't care how I act. I don't care how I think sometimes. I know that you did that, and I receive what I have as my inheritance now, the life that you gave so that I could take that life. See, it's kind of like this. We were dead in our own trespasses once. And Jesus picked up our death, so to speak, put it upon himself, and said, okay, now nail death to the cross. So death, trespasses, which is death, was nailed to the cross. And while death was being nailed to the cross, life was being released. And when he resurrected, life was given freely to all of us. So, identifying with Christ's life means to also identify with your death at the same time. Who loved me and gave himself for me or for us. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. He gave himself for us. He was a free gift. Nobody took his life. You've heard that before. Nobody took his life. You're saying, no, wait a minute, Pastor Mike. I mean, they came, they got him. Judas Iscariot betrayed him. He went, you know, bound off with soldiers and a troop of people to Caiaphas's house, and he was, you know, grilled. I mean, it looks like he was taken. But no, he could at any time said, you know what, enough of this. And it says that he could have called legions of angels. I don't know what they would have done to people, but I bet it would not have been a pretty sight. I've seen what a couple angels, so to speak, did, and I guess 180,000 Syrians were destroyed. So you think a legion of his angels. I mean, it could be major wipeout, you know. But he chose to give up his life. Why did he give up his life? So you could have it, Zeke. He didn't just give up his life to just say that he died and give up the ghost. He gave up his life so now we can have his life. So that we can say, yes, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead with Christ. I died with Christ. But wait a minute. No, I live. And the reason that I'm living isn't because I have life in this flesh. The reason that I'm truly living is because of Christ's life. Because he gave me his life. Because he took my death upon himself and was crucified. And he crucified death. He destroyed death. He didn't just destroy sin. He destroyed death. Now, we don't see death conquered yet. Right? But death is already conquered. It's already finished. We just have not seen the full administration of it. Just like you're fully transformed into a brand new creature. You just haven't seen the full administration of it yet. That's why we could all wear signs, work in progress. This site, you know, website, this site under construction. Don't come back for a few more weeks. Give me some chance to put some, you know, some flashy stuff some on so I look a little better. And I'll end with this, and this might be a good verse for you guys to memorize sometime. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So not only did Jesus give himself, the Father gave himself. Because he gave himself through the Son. And the Spirit gave himself because he gave himself through the Son. So it wasn't just Jesus, one-third part of God hanging on the cross. Through Christ, God himself hung on the cross. Holy Spirit, God the Father, because he represented them all. God gave his only son, but he also gave himself in that act. He gave it all. Why? So that whoever believes in him, whoever would believe that they are dead, should not perish but have everlasting life. Should have life. Eternal life. That's what we walk in. So if you want to respond to somebody when they, you know, jerk your chain, when they diss you, you know, they cut you off in traffic, whatever it is, you know, we all have our own little hot buttons. Yeah, Zeke, I'm getting you. Yeah. We all have our hot buttons, you know. When they don't listen to us and they're our employee and they should follow what we're saying and we're giving them great instructions, great information. They should know exactly what they mean. And then they go and do something totally different and then they mess up everything you were planning, right? I mean, but when those things happen, we can respond in one of two ways. We can respond in the dead trespasses person that we were, the old nature, which was hung to the cross, so you don't have to do that. Or we can respond in this newness, everlasting, eternal life that was freely given to us. But you're not going to will yourself there. You know, Monday morning, you're not going to say, okay, Pastor Mike's telling me I gotta start responding better. You know, you can only do that like twice, maybe. maybe three times on a good day. But somebody, you know, when you purpose that, you know what, you're setting yourself up, man. You're going to have like 50 people that day jerk your chain. And, you know, by the 10th one, you're like crying and, you know, even guys like, oh, I can't do this. No, you're going to have to just rest in who you are because you're hidden in Christ. You don't have to do this on your own. And we would be fools if we try to do our Christian walk or live our Christian life on our own. So if you have, and I have before, we're fools. We're foolish when we do that. When we rely and depend upon our own strength, our own willpower. Because we have been crucified with Christ. Past tense. It's a finished work. So what I'm going to do for the next like 5 minutes, I'm going to have us close our eyes. And however you need to picture yourself being crucified with God, I want you to spend some time with your eyes closed. And I mean, if you need to picture yourself hanging on the cross, I want us to get this in our hearts. Not just a message with just words, but I want it to get in our hearts that we've been crucified with him. Oh, Lord, we've been crucified with you. Oh, Lord, we've been nailed to that cross with you. Been nailed to that cross with you, Lord. When you died, Lord, we died. Lord, when that nail went through your right hand, it went through our right hand. When it went through the left hand, Lord, it went through our left hand. Went through our feet, Lord, when it went through your feet. Yes, Lord, we died with you on that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be dead. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Died, we died, Lord. We were crucified with you. When you hung on the cross, we hung on the cross with you. We no longer have to be subject to the dictates of what others do to us. We're subject to our circumstances, Lord, because we're alive in you. Thank you for this new life, Lord, that we're living in. Supernatural life from heaven, eternal life, Lord. Victorious life, overcoming life. God, you gave it all. You didn't hold anything back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're good. You're good, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, come on up.
Amen. You mind if I share something, Pastor?
Just no, go ahead.
Add a little bit. Speaking of the law, you know, what has been on my heart actually this whole week, you know, being somewhat raised in the law and do's and don'ts. And on top of that, you know, I had a friend, a family friend who he went on a mission trip to India, and he started talking about all the different missionary people that were there, and he says there was a bunch of gospels being preached, you know, even the old gospel of the law. He said there was people sitting there, and the old man's telling them that they need to be circumcised, and they, you know, it's still going on today. You know, I was thinking about the law and the Ten Commandments, and, you know, because you hear that a lot, we are no longer under the law, we are no longer under the law. And I got to thinking, well, God gave us the Ten Commandments, and God is perfect. He would give us, he wouldn't give us anything that wasn't perfect. I started thinking about that. Then Jesus said he also came not to abolish the law, but fulfill the law.
Exactly.
Then I came to the conclusion, for too long we've been focusing on the do's and don'ts of the laws instead of Christ. And I've said this before, you know, when Christ came down, you know, when God gave us the Ten Commandments, he gave us ten. And then Christ said, I'll do it easy. I'll make it easier for you guys, and I'll give you two. I reduced the ten to two. Because within those two, you can fill the ten.
Absolutely.
You know, he's not getting rid of anything. You know, and because you hear that a lot, you know, and people living by the law and saying, well, you have to, family members debating it, and tithe comes up, and, well, that's the old law, he said. If you're going to live by that law, you got to live by all the other laws. I'm like, but Jesus made us perfect so we can fulfill the law through him. Mm-hmm. Like it says, he didn't abolish the law, but he made it so we can, we don't have to worry about the law when you're in Christ. And it's a great feeling. The power that was in the Ark of the Covenant, in order for be to be into your heart, Jesus had to be crucified.
Yeah.
So that power can dwell into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it is with you. So we can live fulfilling the law without having to look at it all the time. I tell myself we're in the times of, in this country, it seems like we're in the time of Leviticus. You know, you have their constitution, our Bill of Rights. And then look at how many laws are added onto it now. I mean, it's crazy. Look at, read the book of Leviticus and all the laws that were added on to it. And I'll ask you, Pastor, I always found it interesting when the Pharisees would ask Jesus, but the law of Moses, the law of Moses, the law of Moses. I'm like, but God only gave us Ten Commandments, you know. Not disqualifying those other laws, but you know, it's in our nature to be adding laws and laws and laws, human nature. But that power that dwells in you, that resurrected power of Christ, we don't have to focus on the laws. Focus on Christ.
Right.
And He'll get you through your daily struggles, your daily life, your daily walk. Each journey is different. But I thank God that He died for me and I was crucified with Him on that cross. And I don't have to worry about the do's and don'ts in life anymore, because the power of God is in me and He's in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Remember that. Call upon it during difficult times and good times. Glorify His name.
Amen.
You know, it's not hard. It's hard to give up our will. But God, the Lord's there. Yeah. I just wanted to share with that, you, Pastor. You know, I've been with the law all the time. It's been a thing on my mind for a long, this whole week, you know, studying the law, the law, the law. But don't get caught up in the do's and don'ts of our Christian walk. Just follow Christ. And He will give you the discernment. And He'll light your path in the right direction. God bless you.
Yeah, in a way, the law was also hung on the cross because He was the fulfillment of the law. And because the opposite of the law meant the wrongs and the rights, all the wrongs were already gone. So all that was left were rights. You know, the dysfunction and function, the tree of dysfunction, everything that was dysfunctional was put on Him. And so the law was abolished. And the requirements was abolished. Amen. Thank you. That's good. Anyone else? Oh, yes. If you live by the law, you will be judged by the law. That's right. They will receive that same judgment. Exactly. Did you? Yeah, go ahead.
When we were doing our little exercise here, I got something that I didn't expect. And I don't know if anybody can relate to this. It might just be me, but my continual trying to crucify the things that I don't like about myself. I try to hang that Lisa that I don't like up on that cross, but it is the Lisa that God made me to be. That's the one that should be living. That's the one that should be living out the will of God, should be letting His love animate me.
That's,
you know,
right.
Move me. But we look, you know, over our lives, things that have been spoken over us or things that we've internalized, we've allowed it to change who God meant us to be. And then when we get older, we're continually caught in the struggle of we're the person that God meant for us to be, but we're not pleased with it. And that's the one we want to hang on the cross. We want to be another version of ourselves. That sounds crazy. Do I need to be like in a locked up unit somewhere?
Right.
No, but that's true though.
Yeah.
And then you come to the place where you're exactly what God meant you to be. With all your weirdness, with all your whatever it is, whoever you are, you're exactly what God made you to be. The problem is we just, well, if I was this, then, you know, I would be, it would be easier and I would be accepted here. And if I were this, like, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Because that's not who Jesus breathed in us
right.
to be. And so I wasn't expecting that. And God told me specifically, stop trying to hang yourself on the cross when I made you to live with all of your roughness, with all of the things that you don't like about yourself. I made them, and there were no accidents, and there were no flaws, although you see it all as a flaw. Stop trying to hang that person on the cross. I already did that for you. Hopefully that made sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically what you're saying is that we have a tendency to look at the creation that God has made us to be, and we look at it with, you know, sometimes even disgust, right? Like, because we compare ourselves to others, and obviously I don't measure up to that individual. That's an amazing individual compared to me. So, yeah, let's just put this on the cross when God says, no, I need you to be who I've called you to be, because there's no other one like you, and I need you. So that's good. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You guys have a great day, and the snow's almost done. It's going to melt soon. Of course, it'll be sunny tomorrow, so it's Sunday, so it's snow day. So, but praise the Lord. God bless you all, and amen. Sorry about, again, the music problems, but Malachi apologizes too. So.